Hello everyone, I'm George Myland. So thanks for coming back to my channel. This is about SEND in education. So that is special educational needs. Used to just be SEN, special educational needs, and now it's SEN and disabilities. Some people said of complex needs and so on. Now people use rather rude terms for this decades ago. So there's obviously a range of abilities and disabilities. We're not all equally good at everything. We can't all have the same result and so on. And there's some people who are skeptical about the whole SEND thing. I remember going to a teacher training course 20 years ago and somebody asking this SEND specialist, is this a bit cynical, but aren't parents gaming the system and getting their children diagnosed as dyslexia, dyscalculia, dyspraxia, whatever it is, in order to get extra time in the exams, 25% extra time, 50% extra time. They said, no, it's not cynical at all. Yeah, definitely it's happening. So that the sharp-elbowed wealthy parents, they can pay for these chartered educational consultants to make these diagnoses. Now, there are some objective criteria. There obviously is a subjective element to it as well. But is it 20% of children in the United Kingdom have this? I mean, a generation ago, it would have been much lower. And dyslexia is about having difficulty reading, spelling and so on in relation to one's other abilities. I mean, I've known pupils who are very able, have a good reading speed, have a wide vocabulary, speak grammatically, even write grammatically, but the spelling is just way below par in relation to everything else. I knew a pupil who was very widely read, but really couldn't spell. You know, spelling in a way doesn't matter as much as it used to because we've got spell check and autocorrect and so on. On the other hand, for some things like in email addresses, it does, because one letter wrong, it'll go to the wrong place. Or, you know, bank information, you're putting in the IBAN, if you get one letter wrong, you send the money to the wrong account and so forth. And dyscalculia doesn't matter as much in as much as we've got calculators these days and so forth. Even the inability to learn foreign languages, well, it's such an Anglophone world. Moreover, we've got these translation apps and so on. So there are individual educational plans saying what the teacher must do, what must do. People have claimed to have anxiety, depression. And anxiety, depression exist. Now, everyone feels a bit down sometimes. Everyone feels faintly worried. Often that's a sensible response. But how far does it have to go before people need special adjustments made for them? So do we go the whole hog and say everybody's individual? We need an individual educational plan for everyone. So with 25 pupils in the class, the teacher has to teach 25 different lessons simultaneously. Wow. How do you do that? Imagine trying to juggle that. A teacher would be sent pages and pages of whatever the educational psychologist has found about the child. How can he or she possibly read and absorb all this and then implement this plan? It's staggering. It's completely impossible to juggle all that. So some people are autistic. Have been so as an auto the self, they relate to the world in a limited way. They may not pick up on social clues and so on. They may have social emotional needs. They may have sensory or physical disabilities. You know, a hearing impairment, be partially sighted, or someone who is very intolerant of too much verbal stimuli, too much noise, or too much light. Had the light even taken out of the classroom, you needed natural light, needed the window open all the time, and so forth. So goodness, but don't we have to adapt ourselves to the world rather than the world to ourselves? Because we can't have this all time. They arrive at university getting their IEPs. And because universities in the United Kingdom are businesses to some extent, I know they don't have shareholders, but they've got to get the students in to pay these fees, to pay about 10,000 quid a year, to convince them it's worth it and that they're going to pass. Obviously, there's a grade inflation. Now, I mean, I'm bad at mathematics. I don't have dyscalculia. But I'm just bad at it. That's it. Okay, I passed GCSE. But I shouldn't have been given extra time. The fact is, I was a mediocre pupil when it came to mathematics. And that's it. And no, should be no adjustments for me. And doing the exam in 4 hours or 3 hours or something, that's easier. Life is time limited. And in a work, that's time limited. I know there's some tasks you can do as long as you want. And it's good we have coursework for people who are better working without time pressure. It's good we have exams for those who are better working under time pressure. But ultimately, time is precious. So there is time pressure. Moreover, in a work situation, sometimes you can't do your task until a colleague fulfills her task or whatever it is. So therefore, I think teaching people to cope with this is a good thing. It's preposterous to give people, you know, more or less unlimited time. And no wonder there's grade inflation. Plus, there's obviously pressure to give higher grades. As an academic said to me, they pay 10,000 quid a year. It's a fraction of the cost of actually educating them. They feel they own the dons and so forth. And they complain if they get anything less to it than a 2-1. Stack them high, sell them cheap. I feel like Jeremiah. I've been saying it for 30 years. It's getting worse and worse. The commercialization of the educational system going down the US road, and therefore people can't be failed, almost have prizes, which is why they had to change the GCSE to a numerical system, because too many got A stars. and read the A stars because too many people got A's and so forth. So some people say SEND is a scam, but I don't, I mean, I'm not an educational psychologist. So some people say dyslexia exists, but it's overdiagnosed. Some people said to be dyslexic who are not, whose reading and writing is only a little below par and that doesn't quite meet that requirement. Likewise with dyscalculia. So, you know, if you're anxious, this is something to be overcome. Now, I may not overcome it completely. Obviously, some are more anxious than others. If you're depressed, this is something to be overcome. And I realize even with medication, it can't be completely overcome. I mean, I know a pupil who was sort of 6'3", was 19, and he was afraid to leave the house. He wouldn't even go to order a cup of tea by himself, had to be led to do that, wouldn't even get a train by himself. But with support, he was able to do so. And 2 years later, he's getting a train all the way across the United Kingdom, going to university in a different part of the UK. And so that is major progress. But there are some people who smell a rat here. So if you're anything less than excellent at anything, that means you must have SEND. And some people say you don't have SEND. Educational health and care plans and so forth, or can't get on the bus for psychological reasons. Now, there are those who say that's bloody preposterous. Just push them out the door and force them to cope. But that's what a generation, we'd have done a generation ago. And you know what? They would have coped. And the cost is exploding. And it's bankrupting local authorities. You've got all these statutory duties, this endlessly increasing number of people with supposed special needs, and not being told to man up and to grow a pair and so on. I'm not talking about just making five-year-olds get the bus on their own, but in their later teens, this is something they're going to have to get over. And so then if they somehow get through university, because the university has bent over backwards to facilitate them rather than these people overcoming their difficulties, and they'd be very argumentative and very quick to go to law with very difficult parents, obstreperous parents will, you know, threaten to sue the university, and they're obviously solicitors eager to make a quick buck on this one. Then they get to the world of work and obviously they can't cope. I mean, working out reasonable adjustments, there's only so far as they can go. It can't be unduly onerous or expensive for the employer who's going to employ such difficult people. And not surprising, 20% of people in the United Kingdom are now judged to be disabled. Now, some of them are disabled and in work, and they have whatever personal dependence payment, which pays for, is it their white stick? Is it their guide dog? Is it some hearing aid? Is it some mobility vehicle? And some of this is sensible and great, but some of them do not work and have no need to seek work, and therefore not paying tax and not paying the national insurance, and are dragging the economy down. Surprise, surprise. So, I mean, remember Lee Anderson, the Reform UK MP, said he was a Labour councillor some years ago, said the healthiest man in his constituency, he could get that person registered permanently disabled and on benefit if he wanted to. It was that easy. I mean, I don't know if what he's saying is true. He may be a fork-tongued politician. Goodness, but what do you think? I'm not saying it's complete nonsense and that special educational needs don't exist. I am sceptical about allowing people extra time of these things. And it's not the same as physical disability. Someone said, what about blind people then? They've got Braille. Yeah, because that is a physical thing. Their cognitive faculties can be just as good, or hearing aids or things like that. I often just think that the fact you can't do it. It doesn't really matter why you can't do it. The fact is you can't do it. A level playing field means everybody does the exam under the same conditions. I'm not very fast at running. There's a 100-meter race. Why not give me a 50-meter head start? Would that make it fair? Because my disability is I'm sort of fat and lazy and don't have the special leg muscles or the genes. This is preposterous. But anyway, we're not going to see logic. It's just getting worse and worse, mollycoddling people, wrapping at people in cotton wood. And rather than saying, you got to cope like we would have done. And you know what? In the great majority of cases, they would have coped. But there we go. And that's why the United Kingdom and the Western world in general is suffering from this crisis of entitlements, just collapsing itself under all these rights, all these payouts. So more and more people receiving these payments and fewer people paying into the system. Where will it end? And who's going to have the balls to say, we're tackling it? Now, Reform UK, the ones who want to revolutionize the country. But on the other hand, they're very reliant on constituencies with a very high percentage of people on benefits. So they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them. They're not going to chuck their own followers off benefits. The Conservative Party is far too feeble at the moment. And really, that is the only answer at the end, is to have a Millet-style reform of massively slashing all these entitlements and making people pay for themselves. And I realise there are some very exceptional cases where they really do need to be looked after, but the terms of it have broadened unduly. Thanks for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, today, PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com, and do what you can to reduce unfair entitlements.